In an era of increasing polarization, Scott Shigoka did something that seemed radical to his friends. He quit his job to spend a year living out of his car, deliberately seeking encounters with people unlike himself. As a city-dwelling liberal Asian American spiritually queer professor venturing into conservative rural America, many warned him of potential violence. Instead, he discovered something transformative, the power of curiosity to bridge seemingly insurmountable divides. Named one of Fast Company's most creative people in business and featured in The Atlantic and The Washington Post, Shigoka's journey has captivated readers looking for authentic connection in our fractured world. Even Arianna Huffington praised the book as essential reading for anyone who wants to help heal our divided world. In Seek, Shigoka offers a roadmap for navigating differences that has already been adopted by organizations from Google to the Obama Foundation, showing us how curiosity might be our most powerful tool for personal and societal transformation. We live in what Shigoka calls an era of incuriosity, where deep listening has become rare and cancellation more common than conversation. This widespread incuriosity isn't just unpleasant, it's literally killing us by shortening lifespans, fueling loneliness, which the U.S. Surgeon General has declared an epidemic, and intensifying political polarization to dangerous levels. The consequences appear everywhere. Neighbors screaming at town halls, identity-based violence rising, and friendships imploding over political differences. Perhaps most alarmingly, 1 in 10 Americans now lacks even a single close friend. This toxic atmosphere affects us all personally, regardless of our political leanings or social position. While we often think of curiosity as merely extracting information, like wondering about dog breeds or road definitions, this represents only shallow curiosity. Deep curiosity transcends intellectual pursuit to become a force for meaningful connection and transformation. Rather than simply asking, "What should I do to make money?" deep curiosity asks, "What makes me come alive?" Instead of, "Are you Democrat or Republican?" it asks, "What values are important to you?" When we dive beneath the surface with deep curiosity, we transform our relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and ourselves. We move from operating through fear and scarcity toward security, joy, acceptance, and freedom. The challenge is learning how to cultivate this deeper form of curiosity in a world that increasingly rewards certainty and quick judgment. Shigoka structures the practices of deep curiosity into the dive model. Detach, let go of assumptions, biases, and certainty. Intend, prepare your mindset and setting. Value, see the dignity of every person, including yourself. And embrace, welcome the hard times in your life. These elements function like muscles that require daily exercise to strengthen our capacity for meaningful connection across differences. Curiosity has been essential to human survival since our earliest ancestors. It's encoded in our brain's architecture. We're all born curious. Among our brain's 86 billion neurons, dopamine plays a crucial role in curiosity. When we're curious, fMRI scans show dopamine production in our brains, rewarding exploration and information-seeking behavior, much like it rewards eating or sex. Our hunter-gatherer ancestors who asked, "What happens if I eat this fruit?" or "Where is that buffalo going?" discovered new food sources and survival opportunities. While curiosity sometimes proved fatal, the benefits for group survival outweighed the risks. Research shows newborns naturally spend more time looking at novel visual scenes, indicating curiosity is innate rather than learned. Contrary to popular belief, research shows we actually become more curious as we age into adulthood and middle age. A meta-analysis of over 1 million participants found curiosity only slightly decreases when cognitive faculties decline near death. Curiosity powers our knowledge work society, fueling scientific research, entrepreneurial innovation, and creativity. People like Minoru Saito, who sailed solo around the world at 77, and Nola Ox, who graduated college at 95, demonstrate how curiosity enables lifelong growth and learning. Curiosity can be directed in three cardinal directions. Inward curiosity helps us understand ourselves, our emotions, values, past traumas, and beliefs. Through reflection and mindfulness, we explore questions like, "What makes me come alive?" Without inward curiosity, we risk unhealthy patterns like self-sacrifice or codependency. Outward curiosity focuses on understanding people and the world around us. It helps us empathize with others, connect with nature, and comprehend different cultures and systems. Without directing curiosity outward, we become insular and narcissistic. Beyond curiosity explores what transcends us, whether through religious understanding, questions about consciousness, or connecting with ancestors and descendants. When we direct curiosity toward the beyond, we connect with something bigger than ourselves, experiencing awe that grounds us in the present while strengthening our connections to ourselves and others. These three directions constantly intersect with each other. When you ask a friend about their breakup experience, you learn about them, outward, while gaining insights about your own relationships, inward. Reflecting on your childhood, inward, shapes how you might parent your own children, outward, or future generations, beyond. Shigoka describes attending a Trump rally alone, despite opposing many of Trump's policies, as part of his year-long cross-country journey to understand people different from himself. Amid the sea of red MAGA hats and charged political energy, he approached strangers with genuine questions about their lives, values, and motivations. Beyond its survival and intellectual benefits, curiosity serves another vital function, connection. When curiosity becomes heart-centered rather than purely intellectual, we shift from wanting to know things to wanting to understand people. Research by psychologist Todd Kashdan shows that curious people feel closer to strangers after conversations than less curious people do. This happens through a spiral of give and take, where curious questions prompt deeper disclosures, creating progressively more intimate exchanges that accelerate relationship formation. Curiosity isn't binary, but exists on a spectrum from shallow to deep. Shallow curiosity isn't unimportant. We rely on it daily. Asking a stranger about their day or the weather can be neighborly and mood-boosting, even if it doesn't transform anything. The goal isn't to eliminate shallow curiosity, but to complement it with deeper exploration. For instance, shifting from "How was your weekend?" to follow-up questions like "What made your weekend great?" or "What does hiking bring into your life?" takes us deeper. This depth makes connection and transformation more likely because it reaches the heart of people's feelings, stories, and humanity. Deep curiosity can be visualized as a door. Incuriosity means pretending the door doesn't exist, missing out on new experiences and relationships. Shallow curiosity acknowledges the door and looks through the peephole, but the view remains distorted by assumptions and biases. Deep curiosity means turning the knob, opening the door, and stepping through. You venture into the unknown, becoming fully immersed without barriers. Rainer Maria Rilke advised to love the questions and live the questions. To love the questions means infusing them with genuine enthusiasm, a love that can be felt by others. To live the questions suggests immersion, not just wondering, but wandering. We must expose ourselves firsthand to other people and places, not just read about them. Deep curiosity requires presence without an agenda. When curiosity becomes attached to judgment or aims to change someone's beliefs, it transforms into predatory curiosity, approaching with ulterior motives rather than genuine interest. While deep curiosity says, "I want to understand you," predatory curiosity says, "I want to change you." Research by political scientists David Brookman and Joshua Kalla shows that listening and valuing others, even when their ideas seem offensive, opens doors to dialogue. Paradoxically, those who most aggressively try to convince others often feel least confident in their own opinions. Though curiosity can indeed lead to someone shifting their views, transformation should be a byproduct, not the goal. Four major obstacles block our path to deep curiosity. Fear, what we're afraid of, real or imagined. Trauma, lasting nervous system responses to distressing experiences. Time, feeling we lack space for deep curiosity. And distance, lacking opportunities to meet different others. Fear, while essential for protection, often blocks curiosity when it appears without real threat. It manifests in various forms: fear of rejection, pain, failure, conflict, the unknown, and change. Some fears exist only in our imagination, while others are grounded in real experiences. Rather than ignoring fear, we should acknowledge it, breathe deeply to activate psychophysiological benefits, and find an appropriate place on the curiosity spectrum. Trauma creates lasting emotional responses that impede curiosity. Unlike physical injuries, trauma gets stored in the body, reawakening in different life moments. Psychologist Kevin Becker explains that trauma shrinks the hippocampus, associated with curiosity, and triggers flight, fight, or freeze responses, all curiosity killers. When trauma surfaces, we must proceed cautiously, often with professional support. The time famine, feeling overwhelmed by responsibilities without enough hours, severely limits our capacity for curiosity. Between multiple jobs, relationships, and digital distractions, deep curiosity often gets sacrificed. Psychiatrist Judd Brewer suggests practicing mindfulness to break time-wasting habits by observing our habit loops, cue, routine, reward, and replacing mindless behaviors with more intentional ones. Physical separation between different groups creates barriers to curiosity. Our cities and communities are increasingly segregated by age, race, and other factors. Studies show 1/3 of people over 55 live in age-restricted communities, while only 6% of people over 60 discuss important matters with non-family members under 36. Similarly, the typical white American lives in a neighborhood that is 75% white and only 8% black. To overcome these barriers, we can purposefully choose integrated living situations and support organizations that create third spaces for diverse people to connect across differences. To practice deep curiosity, we must first empty our cup of what Shigoa calls the ABCs, assumptions, biases, and certainty. These mental shortcuts help us filter information, but can fill to the brim, leaving no room for new perspectives. Assumptions are beliefs we accept as true without proof, mental shortcuts that help our brains conserve energy. While evolutionarily useful, assumptions can be harmful in relationships, leading us to go on autopilot with people we think we know completely. When we stop asking questions, people feel unseen. The goal isn't eliminating assumptions entirely, but noticing and pressure testing them for accuracy. One practice, playfully called Back That Assumption Up, involves pressure testing assumptions by collecting evidence. Like the millennial nuns who question their assumptions about nuns through firsthand experience, we can disrupt assumptions by meeting people we hold beliefs about and asking questions. Research by Robin Dunbar confirms that people think about us far less than we imagine. 78% of conversations involve people talking about themselves. Our meta-perceptions, what we assume others think of us, are typically more negative than reality, affecting self-confidence and relationships. Samantha Moore Berg's research shows these exaggerated meta-perceptions predict political hostility. Both Democrats and Republicans overestimate how much the other group dislikes them by twice the actual amount. Biases and assumptions are related judgments that feed each other. Biases contain collections of assumptions and influence how we feel toward others. Unlike assumptions, biases are automatic and deeply ingrained, making them harder to recognize and challenge. To combat bias, try the garden salad effect. See people as individuals with unique preferences, rather than as members of monolithic groups. Research by Wheeler and Fisk shows that individualizing people, like imagining their vegetable preferences, reduces amygdala activation associated with fear. Creating expansive shared identities also helps overcome biases, as demonstrated in a study with soccer fans who were more likely to help injured rivals when reminded of their common identity as soccer enthusiasts. Certainty impedes curiosity by preventing us from making room in our teacups. When we're convinced something will always be true, we don't question it or stay open to change, leading to stagnation and apathy in relationships and outlooks. To detach from certainty, become an admitter, someone who can say, "I was wrong." Research shows that intellectual humility makes us appear more communal and friendly without diminishing our perceived competence. Intention means being deliberate in your practice of deep curiosity rather than haphazard. The word intend comes from Latin intendere, meaning to stretch toward, a perfect analogy since stretching increases flexibility and strength while reducing injury risk. Just as we should stretch before exercise, we must prepare our mindset and setting before practicing deep curiosity. To prepare for deep curiosity, Shaoka borrows a framework from psychonauts, sailors of the mind and soul, who use altered states of consciousness to explore meaningful life questions. They follow a three-word phrase, set and setting. Set, mindset, involves cultivating positive attitudes like excitement and wonder rather than letting fears dominate. Setting concerns contextual factors like place, people, and time that make you feel safe. You can hack your brain's reticular activating system, the bouncer for your perception nightclub, to prioritize curiosity by focusing on specific behaviors, like tracking how many questions you ask during conversations. Another effective approach is writing down specific curiosity intentions for upcoming events. Research shows that writing down when and where you'll perform a behavior dramatically increases follow-through. 91% of participants who planned their exercise this way stuck with their commitment. We live in a culture that prioritizes answers over questions, treating knowingness as strength and questioning as weakness. Yet the most effective leaders in our fast-moving world share one trait: they aren't afraid to ask questions. Research shows curious leaders make fewer decision-making errors, drive more innovation, and achieve better team performance. Powerful questions have four key criteria. They're open-ended, starting with words like why or what, rooted in genuine interest, appropriate for the relationship, and original rather than cliched. Creating a list of powerful questions to draw from helps prepare for moments requiring deep curiosity. Just as athletes use visualization to improve performance, we can mentally rehearse being curious. In a remarkable experiment from the 1960s, psychologist Alan Richardson demonstrated that basketball players who visualized making free throws for 20 minutes daily improved almost as much, 23%, as those who physically practiced every day, 24%. Objects can powerfully spark curiosity. Shaoka uses this technique with his University of Texas students, asking them to bring meaningful items that illuminate how their families shaped them. These physical or digital artifacts become catalysts for reflection and insight. Setting clear commitments before conversations creates a container where curiosity can flourish. Start by defining what commitments are and offering examples like challenge ideas, not people, or listen without distractions. Then invite participants to suggest additions or modifications until you have 6 to 8 agreed-upon commitments. Valuing means recognizing the inherent dignity of all people, regardless of their actions or your feelings toward them. This practice is challenging, especially when someone has hurt you. When a friend excludes you from a dinner, it's easy to dehumanize them by thinking of them as that bitch, rather than approaching with curiosity about their reasons. Valuing others begins with valuing yourself, seeing yourself as worthy of curiosity first. This means embracing all facets of who you are, both the admirable and challenging parts. When we don't acknowledge our full humanity, especially our imperfections, we become judgmental rather than curious. Self-devaluation leads to imposter syndrome, self-hate, and shame, making us feel small and unworthy of curiosity. One practice involves conversing with your inner voices. Instead of silencing negative inner voices, try befriending them through questions. Have I heard these voices before? What triggers them? Give a microphone to emotions you typically suppress, like anger. Ask, if you could use words to describe why you're feeling this way, what would you say? Another practice is taking a brave pause, making an ask, and staying curious about the response. This is especially important for people pleasers who care for others at their own expense. Valuing yourself means getting out of your own way when sharing dreams or needs. Whether with strangers or loved ones, resist adding disclaimers like, "But my poems are trash," when sharing creative work. Many of us believe we always value others, pointing to our celebrate diversity signs or charity donations as proof. But we all devalue others at times, seeing them through a single lens rather than as whole people. This happens especially with those whose political views differ from ours. We reduce them to a NPR tote bag or MAGA hat. Psychologists John and Julie Schwartz-Gottman discovered that responding to a partner's bids for attention is fundamental to lasting relationships. Couples who turn toward these bids, questions like, "How about salmon for dinner?" or "What book are you reading?" by engaging meaningfully, were more likely to stay married. This practice extends beyond romantic relationships to colleagues, neighbors, friends, and family. Emil Bruno's research revealed that the flow of curiosity, who shares versus who listens, is crucial in dialogue across power differences. In experiments with Israelis and Palestinians, as well as white Americans and Mexican immigrants, he found that when people from dominant groups listened to those from marginalized groups, attitudes improved significantly. However, when the power dynamic was reversed, little changed for either group. This suggests that those with more social power should primarily listen, while those with less social power should share their experiences. Life's forest fires seem to appear without warning. A parent's cancer diagnosis, death of a loved one, job loss, divorce, throwing us off balance and spiraling out of control. After experiencing several of these personal disasters, we know destruction can lead to unexpected new paths, but in the moment, we're paralyzed by fear and desperate for certainty. When facing life's difficult moments, we often avoid looking at hard truths by distracting ourselves. Sometimes this is necessary self-protection, but other times it's avoidance that prolongs suffering. Grounding techniques help anchor you during these fire seasons so you don't retreat into endless distraction. In a 2010 Slate article, Daniel Engber noted that quicksand appeared in one of every 35 films in the 1960s, instilling in many the fear of sinking to death in the gooey trap. But wilderness survival expert Hazen Audle offers three key steps to survive quicksand. Don't panic, stay in your body rather than your mind, and counterintuitively, lean back. This advice applies perfectly to life's crises. When overwhelmed by work stress or caregiver responsibilities, we either freeze or make reactive decisions, both making matters worse. Quicksanding means slowing down deliberately, focusing on your breath, and finding slow, mindful movement rather than matching your stress with frantic activity. Courage, according to Brené Brown, is a heart word, requiring inner strength and commitment to speak honestly about both good and bad. It demands risk-taking without knowing outcomes and sitting with uncertainty and discomfort. Without courage, we can't be deeply curious during hard times. We won't pay attention to our bodies when sick, assess legal or financial troubles, or explore what awaits after losing our home to disaster. Rituals like wedding vows help us mark significant life transitions, and research shows they reduce anxiety while fostering connection. Writing vows to yourself, not just for weddings, but any transition, helps clarify how you'll show up for yourself. These personal vows answer questions like how you'll treat yourself, stay attuned to your needs, and handle difficult times. After nearly being hit by a car in Cuba, Alua Arthur met Jessica, a woman with terminal cancer traveling before she died. Unlike others who offered empty platitudes, Alua embraced Jessica's reality and listened deeply. This encounter transformed Alua's life, leading her to become a death doula, someone who supports people at life's end not by fixing but by witnessing. This approach can help us all become courage doulas in difficult times by approaching tough moments with compassion rather than judgment and focusing on witnessing rather than fixing. While deep curiosity offers tremendous benefits for understanding yourself and others, it's only effective when we understand our limits and boundaries. Limits define what you're capable of, reducing risk and harm, while boundaries keep you safe and comfortable. Without knowing both, your curiosity journey could lead to feeling panicked, overwhelmed, or unsafe. Sometimes you're simply not the right person for a particular curiosity journey. It can be counterproductive or dangerous to get curious with someone who denies your right to exist or threatens you. You might also not be the right person if you're not involved in the relationship, like intervening in your partner's workplace conflict. Always honor others' boundaries. If someone doesn't want your curiosity, respect that consent is paramount. Timing matters tremendously with deep curiosity. Like driving, curiosity isn't appropriate when you're emotionally intoxicated or running on empty. If you lack bandwidth because of a tough day, it's okay to set boundaries. There are exceptions when we have a moral duty to exercise curiosity despite timing, when someone is in danger or expressing suicidal thoughts. Even as the right person at the right time, you must move at the right speed. Shigoka uses a traffic light system to navigate curiosity boundaries. Red lights mean stop completely, like when the guys at the Avett Brothers concert became threatening or when a relative shares unwanted family secrets. Yellow lights signal caution, like when he catches himself trying to convince rather than understand someone with different views on LGBTQ rights. Green lights mean proceed, but remember that even on smooth journeys, you need rest stops. Deep curiosity is inherently messy and imperfect. We'll fumble and make mistakes, misread signals, and encounter unresponsive people. Self-compassion is essential, like Kristen Neff's self-compassion breaks, where we acknowledge suffering, recognize it as part of the human experience, and extend kindness to ourselves. This practice builds courage for riskier curiosity. Similarly, we must extend grace to others who aren't receptive to our questions. Everyone deserves curiosity, but no one owes it to us at all times. We naturally mimic the expressions, mannerisms, and behaviors of those around us through what psychologists call the chameleon effect. This phenomenon, powered by mirror neurons in our brains, means that surrounding ourselves with curious people makes us more curious too. Research by Goran Gordon demonstrated this contagious quality when children who played with curious robot partners showed increased exploratory behaviors, while those paired with incurious robots showed no such increase. To spread curiosity effectively, begin with those closest to you rather than trying to transform entire organizations immediately. Start with three deliberate actions. Articulate curiosity as an important value, embrace it as an identity, and bring it into spaces you already occupy. Like the 80-20 rule, focus first on your immediate sphere of influence, trusted colleagues, friends, or family members. Declaring curiosity as a shared value means more than just adding it to a principles document. It must be actively demonstrated. Leaders can't merely request curiosity from others without practicing it themselves by asking questions and admitting knowledge gaps. In families, parents must model the behaviors they wish to see, avoiding double standards like prohibiting phone use while remaining glued to their own devices. Like the LGBTQ+ movement normalized queer identities through coming out, we need to come out as curious people. Curiosity transcends all other identity markers. It's accessible regardless of wealth, age, race, or ability. The closet keeping curiosity hidden is our societal pressure to appear knowledgeable, where admitting ignorance feels like weakness rather than integrity. Rather than creating new venues for curiosity, bring it to spaces you already occupy: offices, homes, schools, neighborhoods, and online spaces. Social media platforms typically used for presenting accomplishments and expertise can be repurposed for genuine exploration by admitting what you don't know and inviting followers to participate in your learning journey. Deep curiosity transformed Shigeoka's life, helping him fall in love, enter therapy, embark on a cross-country journey to meet different people, enhance his career, strengthen relationships, and even write this book. Throughout the writing process, curiosity saved him from panic attacks and imposter syndrome by helping him detach from assumptions, value himself, and embrace difficult moments. Life will continue throwing curveballs, and society will face crisis after crisis. While we can't control these things, we can harness deep curiosity to navigate them better. The next time the rug is pulled from under you, don't hide, seek.